The reading today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, starting at verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you up. I will say to the north, give them up. To the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. These are the words of sacred scripture.
I want to begin this morning by taking a look at the scripture reading that Barry just read from the book of Isaiah. Because I think that particular scripture passage offers a poignant glimpse into our life and our faith. It's also a reminder of how practical the Bible can be for our lives today. The historical context of this passage is this. Israel was suffering from Babylonian captivity. That is to say, they had been overthrown by the world power of Babylon. They lost their brightest and their best leaders. They lost their capital city of Jerusalem. They lost the center of their faith, their beloved temple. And most desperately, some in Israel were beginning to lose their faith in God. Well, Isaiah responds to this crisis of faith, and he tells them that they should not be afraid, that God is with them, that God has not forgotten them. He tells them that they are precious in the eyes of God. Isaiah also tells them that God is going to help them through this terrible trial, and that the day is going to come when all the sons and daughters of God will be gathered back home. And that this geographical exile and spiritual crisis is only a temporary experience. The message is simple. God will not abandon you. Now, I really love this particular passage of Scripture. I'm a fan of Isaiah's anyway, but it's such a positive statement about the enduring presence of God. And yet there's also something a little troubling about it. Because when I step back and I begin to think about some of my challenges and some of your challenges, some of the challenges facing our world today, I find myself asking the question, but is it true? The language is beautiful, but is it true? Or maybe better said, how is the message true? And I started to think about all of the crazy things that people say when life becomes chaotic or challenging or difficult. Things like, God won't ever give you more than you can handle. Or someone says to you, it must have been the will of God, or it must have happened for a reason. Or the clincher for me is always, don't worry, God is in charge. Now, I understand how tempting it is to embrace a religious cliche, because every religious cliche has a certain element of truth in it. The problem, however, is that religious cliches don't have enough truth in them. And so over the years, I've asked some personal questions of myself. Questions like, what do I really believe about God and the everyday trials of life? What does my faith in God do for me? And what does my faith in God not do for me? How do I handle my personal trials? Not theoretically, but how do I actually get through them? And so this morning, I just want to talk to you. Not preach a sermon, but talk to you about what's real for me. I'll start here. It's like everyone else, when I go through a challenging time in life, I almost always fall apart. Now, not all the pieces of my life fall apart, but some of them do. I go through all kinds of emotions, and frankly, it depends on the situation. Sometimes I get down or discouraged. Sometimes I ask, why me? Sometimes I get very angry, but most of all, and this is my default behavior, I blame myself. I get that from our mom. You know, I do. I feel badly about myself, and depending on how deep that hole is, I can stay there for sometimes a few hours or a few days or a few weeks or months. And I share this with you because almost every trial in life begins with this kind of chaotic, desperate, falling in a hole kind of experience. And it's okay. It doesn't mean that you're bad or weak. It means that you're human. And then when I'm in the middle of a crisis, I turn again and again to the truth of my faith. And for me, it's a very simple truth. I try to believe that God still loves me and that there's still something good left inside of me. Now, both of these are important because what happens when we go through a challenging time is that we begin an inner kind of interrogation. We put ourselves on trial. We ask things like, do I even matter? Does anyone really care? Do I deserve this? Am I a bad person? Did I bring this on myself? And yet, as these questions swirl inside my mind, there's a central notion to my faith that I return to again and again. I am loved by God, and there's something good left inside me. And by the way, there is a difference in affirming that we're loved by God and saying that God's going to make everything better. I have to be honest with you and say I put less and less emphasis these days on God fixing things, and that includes fixing me or fixing you. I know when I look around the world, I know we're all horrified these days by gun violence in our society. But you know something? God isn't going to come down and fix the gun violence of this world. We have to fix gun violence. We are the ones who have to work for a safe and a sane world for all of God's children. Global climate change is a pressing issue, we can see. But God's not going to fix global warming either. We have to fix that situation. We have to find ways to make this planet more sustainable for all creatures. Even in our city, we're seeing again and again issues of race and police departments. God's not going to fix racism in this country. We have to fix racism. We have to work for a better world. I truly and deeply believe that God is the presence of love, but that's not the same as saying God is the Mr. Fix-It of the universe. To hear some people talk about God, you would think that religion is as simple as buying a loaf of Wonder Bread and some Miracle Whip. That's not how it works. Here's what I know about love. I love my children. But they're adults now. They make choices now, and no matter what those choices are, I love them. I can remind them in ways great and small that there's still something good inside of them. But I've realized, even as dad, I can't fix everything for them. I've had friends who have spiraled out of control. Maybe it was an addiction, gambling or drinking, or maybe a loss of a relationship. We love our friends. We want them to be happy and safe and productive. And we can be a supportive presence to our friends. We can do things like cook a meal or do a load of laundry or drop off a bottle of wine. Well, don't drop off the wine if the problem is addiction, though. But we can do a lot of different things to bring a human touch to a personal crisis. But you know, in the end, we can't fix our friends. And I think the same thing is true for God. When I'm up to my neck in crisis, I count on the truth of God's love, but I don't count on God coming down and reversing my plight. Here's what I know. I've had a wonderful life so far, and I've had a chance to journey with many people. And I've realized that life is hard, and it's challenging, and everyone suffers. We all have our trials. No one is exempt. God doesn't fix it. God is with us. God loves us. But that doesn't mean that God fixes it. We suffer because we're human beings. We suffer because we open ourselves up to love. We suffer because bad things happen. Like all of you, when bad things happen, I sometimes ask why. And there's nothing wrong with asking why. But for me, at least, I find myself asking why less and less these days. And it's because my faith helps me to live with the unexplainable. When I was a teenager growing up, I turned to God because I wanted the bright sunshine of His answers. But now in my evolution as a human being, I find that I've made peace with what cannot be known. I still believe God's presence of love is with me, but that presence of love doesn't necessarily clear the sky. Does that mean I like going through my trials? Of course not. I want to get things fixed as quickly as possible and fixed perfectly. But life isn't perfect. What I'm trying to say is that my faith isn't all about clarity and sunshine. It's also about the fog and the clouds and not knowing. And I can make peace with that. Especially when I know that there's a presence of love that is with me and that will never let me go. I need to say one more thing. Because it's happened to me again and again. In my most difficult times, I can look back and see that someone reached out to me with a little help or a little encouragement or a simple kindness. Sometimes they were quite intentional about it. Sometimes they had no idea that they were helping me so much. But I knew. These are the people who become our angels. They become our sisters and brothers of mercy. And we all need them. We can all become that kind of person too. Yet, I've learned that we have to find a way to let those people come close to us. We've got to give people a chance to care for us. And so, friends, this has, I guess, been a rambling sermon. Here's what I know. On any given Sunday, at least half of us in this sanctuary find ourselves struggling with something. It's how life works. And yet I know from my personal experience that no matter what the trial or what the trouble, I am really never alone. I might feel alone, but I'm not alone. I'm being held by something much larger than ourselves. And I hope you can feel that and believe that. And I hope you'll take a minute and look around you today. Trust me, you're not alone. I love you all. Let's love one another. Amen.